Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us and welcome to episode 56 of the Nutanix Weekly Podcast. I have with me a couple of my co-hosts, Mr. Jira Cox. How are you today, sir?
Man, the big 5-6. They said we couldn't get here. We got there.
Right. Mr. Ben Rogers, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Harvey. I'm glad to be here today.
Wonderful. I was just telling the guys right before I got on here, that for whatever reason, my mind left me and I couldn't remember the key combination to Zoom in a browser. Right before this, I was working on a report that I have to do, and I don't like doing reports and all of that, working in Excel and go looking up 10 things for one line when I have to do multiple line items. So that was fun, and it apparently rocked my brain just a little bit.
Hey, it sounds like you need a pivot table there.
It is a pivot table, but I'm having to fill in all of the information.
And if you're listening to this podcast, it's control plus and control minus on your keyboard there. So if you learn nothing else today, we've been of value to you as a tech podcast.
So yeah, that's my daily dose of feeling silly, I guess.
Oh, good. You're like a manager now, right? So it's just part of moving on up the food chain.
Oh, I'm going to let that one go. I don't even want to consider the implications behind it. Today's topic is approval policies in NCM, which we'll get to in a minute. NCM self-service that's now available as a tech preview. We'll stick it out to you both. Who wants to be first to define what NCM is?
NCM is the Nutanix Cloud Manager. It's kind of the artist formerly known as Prism Pro within Prism Central. So for doing more automation, orchestration activities within Prism Central, right? Again, across your multi-cluster manager there within PC.
All right.
Yeah. And this blog post comes to us from the community blog, next, yes. Nutanix.com, proving once again to be all killer, no filler. This is where the real techie stuff gets published, and it's awesome. This one's pretty cool. We've talked before, right, about automation, end-user self-service. Automation. We love good automation, right? You were about to say it.
We've never talked about that.
Yeah, good automation, bad automation, automating the right things. So.
Where's Andy? See, look, I've invoked him.
with us in spirit today.
Right.
And of course, there's all kinds of fun things you can do within Nutanix self-service automation. You know, you can do quotas. You know, this user or this team can consume or deploy X amount of vCPUs or Y amount of memory or disk storage. But even if you have those kind of guardrails set up and in place, you still might not want some people to have full autonomy to do certain actions, let's say, whether it's a VM deployment. I can picture a use case for an in-guest installation, right? If you want licensed software, you know, maybe full-on SQL or Adobe Pro, is that still a thing? I think it is. Inside of your virtual machine, maybe you need to go get approval, right, for a license consumption before you go do that deployment. So we wouldn't want to give everybody full rights to do that automation, you know, soup to nuts, right? End to end, autonomously. So yeah. This is a new feature here that is actually going to let customers use Nutanix automation, but then for certain triggers, certain actions, certain thresholds that you can set, require approval before that automation will complete.
So Jira, can I ask a question about this? And I'm always putting on my customer hat. So I used to manage an IT team, and my IT team had various skill sets. Would this system allow me to say, hey, I've got a junior engineer that's building out some BDI for me, and if he reaches a certain threshold where it looks like he's going to take X amount of capacity from the system, I then want that to be approved by somebody above him. Is that where this product could kind of fit into play?
Yeah, it seems like a great, great use case. The blog post walks through a couple of examples like that, right? Where, like, in this the example they give, is if you're deploying it and it contains prod, P-R-O-D, so you're deploying a prod application and it's going to get more than, say, in this case, 10 gigs of VM memory, require an approval, right? Like get a sign off on that kind of an action. So again, that's a that's both an environmental or actually a VM naming check combined with, to your point, Ben, a consumption above a certain threshold check.
See, that is awesome, because that was one of my kind of fears as a manager, is I didn't want to pigeonhole my employees and go, I don't want you to do this because of risk to the system. But at the same time, I did get called a couple of times where engineers got a little bit too ahead of themselves and it caused problems with the system from a capacity standpoint or a performance standpoint. And so to kind of have this safeguard at an administrative level, that's huge for IT managers, in my opinion, and can really give us a good sense of, I can allow my engineers to get into the environment, but I can also present some protective guardrails that don't allow them to overtake the environment.
Totally. Yeah. So, and Ben, to that use case, could you imagine, did you need to approve everything, or were there more senior folks on your team who also could have served as an approver?
Oh, well, Harvey knows the answer to that. I had one or two gentlemen and females that that would, you know, those requests would get bumped to them, and then they would have the skill set to look at the 30,000 foot view to go, this is going to work, this is not going to work. And then ultimately, if there was a question, they would come to me. But I wouldn't want to burden, you know, somebody at my capacity at that time, you know, a director level dealing with things like this. I'd rather that be, you know, my infrastructure manager or somebody like that. It's just, if the hits the fan, that's when it's coming to me. And half the time I'm doing something administrative going, what? And so when I read this article today, that was one of the first things that came to my mind, was this is a way for me to limit what junior engineers could do and to get senior engineers if they got into a danger zone.
Totally. Totally. Right. And so what I think is cool here is you could have really any kind of LDAP group you wanted to create, any kind of AD group you wanted to create, as approvers for that action, right? So it doesn't just need to be you as the formal, you know, people manager. It could be anybody more senior as is allowed to approve this action, right? And they could come to those people first. If they're all out, you know, on PTO, then they can come bug you as sort of a approver of last resort, if you will.
Now, right now, our conversation's been solely with, you know, hardware resources, but I also see where this thing can help us out at an application level. Can you describe some of that for me? Or I might be getting a little ahead of ourselves. I apologize if I am.
No, not at all. So we can walk through. There's going to be basically three sections to configuring this kind of approvals within the NCM self-service. So the first one is going to be picking your, you know, entity type, right? Like an application, right? Which does can include a virtual machine, right? That can, you know, whatever your blueprint can contain, one VM, multiple VMs, can call out to containerized environments to do container launches as well. And then what kind of action, right? So you're basically defining, when do I want this requirement for an approval to trigger? And it's like this type of thing, doing this type of action, like the screenshots here show, like launching, right? So I want to launch this blueprint, which is basically considered a deployment. And then, you know, once the system's filtering on, what things am I watching for to then go out and get an approval for? When do I need to go bug somebody, right? What are the thresholds? Like in this case, our example of memory above 10 gigs. So yeah, that can be a launch action. I can imagine that being like a day two action, like a software deployment or a VM scale out or a grow a VM in size type operation. So I don't have the exhaustive list of what this could trigger, but I can imagine it's pretty broad because I think it's tied into self-service at a very, very deep level. So we can catch just about any action and then route that to whoever needs to be the right kind of approver for that action.
Now, let me ask you this, and Harvey, I don't want to dominate the conversation here, but that's okay. Would this help with rogue IT?
go ahead and lead the witness there, Ben. How could that help with rogue IT?
What I'm thinking is, you know, I've got a database administrator that is tired of asking for, you know, database sizes, and they go, I just want to go and create a massive database engine. And so I'm thinking, you know, again, how can I contain the developers in my department to keep them from overrunning our resources?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that for sure. Yeah, I can see a lot of good functionality there, a lot of usefulness.
All right, I'm going to go all the way back just a little bit, because you gentlemen just got extremely excited about what you were doing. We forgot to define one more thing. So we talked about Nutanix Cloud Manager. We also have in here NCM self-service, and it says formerly calm. Does that mean somebody agitated it, Jared? What do they mean formerly calm?
Wow. Wow. what a way to end a Monday. Yeah, I'll let marketing know that you gave them a suggestion there. They can call it agitated, right? we'll leave it for them to run with that. No, for sure.
Hyper. Did we give it coffee?
For sure. But yeah, so totally a rebranding here from, if you've heard of Calm before, that's what we're talking about now in NCM self-service, right? So anywhere that you've heard us say Calm for automation, application blueprints, VM deployments, day zero, day one, day two operations, all things that Calm used to play in, now NCM self-service does still play in.
Yes.
Okay. So let me, as a new Nutanix new employee, let me get it right now. So Nutanix Cloud Manager was the artist formerly known as Prism Pro, mm-hmm. and Nutanix Cloud Manager self-service is the artist formerly known as Calm.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Simple.
We probably have maybe not finished updating all of your new hire training videos, but I'm guessing you have probably a foot in both camps.
So, well, in some of our demo environments, you still see some of the old names too. So I've been in our demo environment a lot this morning and this afternoon. And so when I got this article, I was like, all right, let me step back. I know Prism Pro is now NCM, but the NCM self-service is Calm kind of threw me for a little bit, because I was like, all right, is this being built in the Pro and I'm missing something? And when you're drinking from the fire hose, sometimes things go past you and you're like, wait a minute, I should have stopped and looked at that.
No, totally fair. Right? Good to certainly connect all the dots. I said earlier, you know, and I'm still not going to read people the exhaustive list of what all this can do, but I did click into it. The blog post links to our documentation about what kind of thresholds it can be used to set or what kind of operations. And it's honestly genuinely pretty impressive. I love it. Like, so let's take a step back and remember that, you know, Calm, now NCM self-service, is so multilingual, right? It's a write your application once, deploy to AHV environments, vSphere environments, AWS, Azure, GCP environments. And this can apply to all of that, right? So you want to use a certain network, whether it's a VLAN on vSphere or an AHV network or a network in AWS or Azure or GCP for your application deployment. Same kind of thing. Oh, you want to deploy to dev? Knock yourself out. You want to deploy to prod? Okay, let's get approval from, you know, the prod network manager kind of person for that environment. Taking a snapshot, you know, exceeding a certain threshold of vCPU, cores per vCPU, AWS disk sizes. This is a really extensive list here on the documentation here about what this all can be used for.
All right, so let's take a step back. You said something that made me want to expand the conversation a little bit. This will not only manage an approval on local private cloud infrastructure, but we can extend this services out to the Azures, GCPs, AWSs that our Nutanix clusters are running.
Yeah, right. So it's still a habit for me to say Calm. NCM self-service can let you, you know, write those application blueprints one time and then deploy them to any of those cloud environments, right? Or really we say your cloud environment, which can be multi-cloud.
I tell you, if I would have known about this 4 years ago, Harvey, this would have been in our environment. Just for the safe being of knowing that I've got all these cost centers and I don't want to get surprised by a heavy bill. Building this into it would say, hey, if you're going to build something in Azure, you know, you can build something on-prem. I don't care. That's already bought and paid for. But when you start to get away from on-prem and now you're looking at Azure or AWS, where it's going to cost some significant money to have those loads running, there needs to be an approval process. This fits perfectly into that model.
Well, and I think about how quickly it can be enabled and stood up, right? Because, I mean, we've had our friends from ServiceNow on this podcast, right? And they clearly, this is their bread and butter. They live there all day, every day, complex business routing, logic policies. And I would say this is almost, it's not even competitive, right? Like, if you need that level of automation, you need that level of automation and approvals. If you just need, I need someone, like to your point, Ben, I need to prevent a junior admin from doing something perhaps unwise in an environment. This stands up in minutes, right? Like one click to enable Calm, now NCM self-service, a second click to say, turn on approval policies and start building them, right? All hosted right there in Prism Central. with no other cloud services to call it to and deploy, integrations, all that kind of stuff. You can, of course, use a lot of things to do your approval policies, but this is now baked into the very base product that you can just turn on in minutes.
Now, I'm looking at these screenshots. This doesn't look like rocket science. This looks a lot like low code, no code.
Yeah, that's very fair. Yeah, so, you can even use it to call. If you, I'm looking back at the documentation here on the portal that this blog post links to, and it even can be used for runbooks, right? So if you want to, you know, use Calm to trigger a certain kind of runbook within PC, then you know, hey, go get an approval for that. Oh, here's a fun one. If your application is estimated to cost more than a certain amount, go get approval, right? Because remember, there's cost estimation built into the deployment engine, which of course can go out and read public cloud pricing, but also even provides you an estimate for on-prem application pricing. So you can even have some cost-based thresholds here.
Wow, that's awesome. Now, talk to me about if I'm a junior engineer, and I want to put some test environment in AWS, and I go through the approval process, and it's approved. Does that automatically get built, or does that come back to the engineer and say, you are now eligible to go ahead and build this environment?
So whenever the approvals come in, which you can set to either say, I need one person in this group to approve, or I'm going to send out a bunch of approvals, I need all of them to come back approved. Whenever that matches your desired approval threshold, then it just goes ahead and continues with the deployment. So to you as the requester, there's no second action needed, right? You've already sent it off. It either comes back approved or rejected, and either way, no more actions needed for you. And then, yeah, if you were one of those people on the approver list, you get an email, log in, give it your yes or no, and it will go off then with that request.
I hate to see amazed by this, but this is so cool. The stuff you discover in these podcasts is awesome.
No, frankly, I'm pretty excited about it too, right? That ability just to go to all of our customers running this and say, here's this new feature. We just built in for it. You know, click, go to your LCM, run your updates, come back and find new functionality here. It's pretty awesome.
Like, and I know administrators like me in the past, they would be clamoring for this because, you know, again, it's always that fear of what could happen that I don't know is going to happen. And this kind of, again, puts that safeguard on it where I know that I can clip it at a certain level and have it to be an approval process instead of I did this and now we're having performance issues.
Well, and to your point, Ben, around like safety thresholds, you know, what, I mean, call it what it is, right? What can wake me up at 2 a.m, right? And give me a rough night. This is complementary to all the other monitoring that's natively within PC, right? So I can say, you know, if I'm a developer, I might be part of the dev project, right? And I can put thresholds around that project to say this project can't consume more than X CPU, Y memory, Z storage, might only be able to deploy to certain VLANs. There's whole other ways that I can safeguard those environments to ensure my stability of the environment as well from perhaps an overly ambitious developer or consumer. So yeah, we want the healthy self-service. We want rational safeguards, and then the ability to even go beyond safeguards into approvals when needed. So they all kind of work together pretty collaboratively.
Sounds good. That was, you guys are really diving in on this topic. So that's great. I was kind of reading through, you know, some of these other pieces, and it said this toward the bottom, this feature is currently available as tech preview in Calm 3.5. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is it Calm? Is it MCM self-service?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Fact checking acknowledged. Appreciate it, Harvey.
Well, you know, I'm just reading through, right? This is how it is.
Your checks in the mail as a proofreader. Appreciate it. But no, that's true. But a good call out as well that, of course, it is a tech preview feature. So, of course, please use it, try it, give your account team feedback on it for sure. So it'll be, you know, tech preview usually is the step, you know, prior to a broader rollout.
So let me ask this question again, being a new Nutanix employee, had we had something like this before, or is this kind of the first iteration of this type of service?
usually before this, usually it would be a, you would plumb up your, you know, Calm now NCM self-service to some other cloud-based portal that would handle all of the approvals, right? And then just call in to Calm after it had gotten all those approvals. So you could do it, but it wasn't us hosting it.
Okay. So we're bringing this 100% of this functionality into our product set now.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Ben, you mentioned, I didn't mention this to you 5 years ago. It didn't look like this 5 years ago.
I'm thinking about a time that our systems got tore down because of an antivirus update.
Oh, yeah.
And this would have been something that would have prevented that. And so, you know, I'm sitting in a meeting. I've got two data centers that are, you know, load balance, active, active. And all of a sudden I get out of a meeting and my engineer goes, we're down. And I'm laughing. I'm like, there's no way we're down. I'm like, oh, we're down. And then I start to, you know, roll back why it happened. This would have prevented that from happening. You know, there would have been some type of approval process that, you know, one, if you want to do DR, that's one thing. But once you move into production, heavy approvals got to be done, especially when you're playing with a core technology like antivirus. So right. That's really the situation that comes to the top of my mind that I go, if I would have had this safeguard, I would have not walked out of a meeting and gone, you're kidding me. There's no way that could happen. And then the reality of it happened, you know. So, again, I think this is wonderful.
That's it's always the way, right? With you know, any kind of event, postmortem, autopsy, investigations, right? Things that have never happened before happen all the time. Always a failure of imagination.
Yes, fortunately and unfortunately.
Well, it's just hard when you got to explain to the organization and they're like, you know, you built this robust environment that shouldn't go down. How did it go down? And then you go, the human element, I haven't protected against that yet.
Yes.
And so this really kind of, you know, man, I love engineers, man. I love my engineers. I'm an engineer at heart. And just, again, safeguards are always a priority for companies because they don't understand, you know, what it takes to get the IT systems to run efficiently. They just want to hit the application and be in the database looking at patient records. And for something like this, again, it gives a level of comfort that you won't be interrupted in a meeting going, we're down in an active situation. And you're like, what? How?
Right.
How did that even happen?
Well, that, I mean, like we've talked about for months now, Harvey, right? Like the, in some sense, like the pie in the sky, yeah, sure, automate everything. Like, well, that's a tangible benefit right there that Ben's sharing is if the more you automate, the more I can wrap these approvals around compared to getting approvals for a human process, doable, harder to enforce.
Right.
Right. So more governance available with that kind of process.
Now, let me ask this. Let's say that one of these approvals came in and the system didn't have the capacity to do that. Would it make recommendations back to us or would it stop the process? I mean, give me an idea of how that would work. The engineers made some unrealistic demands and we don't have the resources to meet that.
Yeah, go ahead, Jara.
Anyway.
I was just going to say, so you've got the ability to handle it by a threshold. And so with your threshold being the condition it's taking a look at, I mean, that is your built-in way, hopefully, to stop that if you got your conditions set up correctly. And if not, I mean, to your point, the human element is still there. If we don't protect ourselves against things like that, then they can still happen to us.
I can think of an answer that involves like a few different components. The first would be like, if you're just broadly rolling out like end user self-service automation, right? Like self-service deployments, you know, you're moving IT into a model where, you know, you run the store, keep the shelves stocked, and users can come in and get what they need. Part of that would involve some sort of a level of responsibility of understanding like a pace of deployment, right? Like we average 100 VMs a week or 200 VMs a week or, 100 terabytes a week or whatever your growth rate is. If something dramatically exceeded that, right? Like, you know, you went from 100 terabytes a week to a petabyte a week, or, you know, someone wanted 10 petabytes in a week. You'd want that deployment to fail, right? You wouldn't want that to contend. You'd want to get that. You'd want that to fail and alert and, you know, have a conversation about that one. Brings in another dimension, right? With all automation, watch the logs, right? You want to know what's succeeding, know what's failing, right? And be able to, because those failures will tell you as much as the success messages do. Let's say it wasn't a real outlier, and you were just, it was just organic growth on a healthy trajectory, then the cluster itself would already be alerting you whenever you drop below a certain kind of threshold, right? By default, it's set for a 1 year kind of runway. If your growth in CPU memory or storage is trending towards an out of resource condition in the next 12 months, that generates its own alerts within Prism to say, hey, you know, plan for growing this dimension, this environment in this dimension by X amount to sustain a healthy growth runway. So lots of different answers there that all add up to how we'd handle that, how it would get handled in a normal, healthy Nutanix environment, and how it could be a good challenge for the, you know, if somebody really came to you and needed 10 petabytes, like, there's more conversations to be had there.
Absolutely. All right. Any parting thoughts for us, Mr. Rogers?
I think this is awesome. You know, I can say that being a Nutanix employee, but I can also say that being a former IT director. Anytime that I can build safeguards into a system, it just makes it for a good night's rest.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're all about.
Jira, top that.
Man, you know, proof point, right? You know, nights and weekends back. That's what really matters.
Yep. Agreed. Being able to just, I mean, look, Ben still laughs at me, but Nutanix for your sanity, people. Yeah. This is just another one in a long line of being able to take back some of your sanity if you've already lost pieces of it.
I'll get us shirts made. We're on Team Sanity.
Yes, we're on Team Sanity. I like it.
I'll also tell you another place this would really help, and that's with compliance and risk assessments. You know, if you've got a tool like this, you can guarantee you can stay in compliance, and you can also look at your risk assessment team and going, again, I'm building protection features into the environment that won't let us overrun the environment if we don't have the capacity to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, the IT leaders that are out there that have to answer to a risk assessment department or a compliance department, this could be a really good tool for not only, you know, protecting the environment, but also documenting what's being done and that there was an approval process that went into this decision and went into this action. So again, I'm putting back on the IT director's hat going, you know, when the compliance people would come to my office and be like, why did you let this happen? Or how did this happen? And, you know, if I had a way to go back and go, here was the approval chain. Here was the thought process. Here's what it went into to get to where we're at today. Again, just another CYA and a better way of doing business, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yep. Can't argue 100%. With that. That makes perfect sense. So Jira, is this something that I have to buy in order to see it, or can I test this out?
You can actually take a test drive for this right on our Nutanix test drive. So testdrive.nutanix.com.
That's right, test drive.
Yep, or call up your friendly Nutanix Teams and Integra team for a powerhouse demo.
Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely another option. So, guys, I appreciate it for sure. Definitely a good conversation today. You just took off and I couldn't stop you. So appreciate you guys jumping on. We will see everybody on the next one.
Cool. Talk to you then.
All right, everybody, have a good one.
Sorry, won't let me stop it. Bloopers.
Hey, I found you guys on YouTube today.
Hold on just a second there.